Good morning.
Happy Memorial Day weekend. I'm so glad that you all come out and be with us this morning and be in prayer for me, because this is technically my first time teaching in Sunday school. And I'm sorry, listen, if I get quiet on you, you just got to let me know. Jonathan's out here going, put your mouth closer to your mouth, because I will have a tendency to pull it away because I get loud sometimes. We want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to stand before you this morning. God is so good to us. Yeah. And he gives us things well in advance. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning. Kind of pick up where Teddy Dean has left off. But we're going to go in a different direction. Because this is what God does, right? He's teaching on Elisha and the Shunammite woman, right? And he gets to the part that the man of God tells her she's going to have a baby. And she responds to him in fear. Yes? Yes. She responds to him in fear. No. Do not deceive me. Don't lie to me. Don't tell me that. Don't get my hopes up. And then God turn around and not give me that promise. But God does give her the promise. She does get to have that baby, and she holds him, and she nurtures him, and she does all the things that mommies get to do. But it gets to a point that this child grows, and he goes out into the field with his daddy, and then he starts complaining with his head. And daddy says, well, send him to his mom. Ending to his mommy. And what is it the Bible says? And we're 2 Kings 4 and 20. And then when he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. She is sitting there in her home with this baby on her lap. And I'm sure the entire time that he is on her lap, she's praying. She's praying to the God that Elisha serves, the man of God that had given her promise. She's praying to that God. Lord, as most of us would, Lord, don't take my baby. Healing, fixing. Don't take my promise. Don't take my promise. But he does take the promise. The baby dies. Very straightforward. He dies. It's not he didn't go to sleep. He didn't have a fever. It was he died. Her promise died. What does she do? Not the way I would have reacted. I would have been in tears and screaming and crying and wailing and just having a hard time. Everybody would have known what had happened, because like I would not have been quiet. She picks him up. She carries him up to the room that she had made for the prophet, that she had made for Elisha. And she lays him on his bed, and she closes the door. She doesn't speak of her heartache. She doesn't tell anybody that he's dead. She goes to her husband and says, I'm going. And he says, but why? and she says, all is well. All is well. Now listen, we know her world has just been rocked because her promise is laying on the bed dead. There's no breath in his body. He is dead. Her promise is on that bed. And what does she do? All is well. She goes. She goes to where Elisha is going to be at. And he sees her in the distance. And he tells Gehazi, go to her. Ask about her. Ask about her husband. Ask about her child. Her response to Gehazi is, all is well. All is well. All is well. Until she gets to Elisha. And it says that she gets to him and she reaches for his feet. So that means that this great woman has fallen on her knees before the man of God. Grief at this point has overcome her. She can't anymore. She can't carry that anymore. And she falls at his feet. And Gehazi goes to push her away. And Elisha says, don't, for she is in bitter distress.
Amen.
Bitter distress. And God has hid it from me. He gave her the promise. She held it. She nurtured it. She did all the things that she was supposed to do. She done all the right things. And then he took it. And what does she feel? That he lied to her. That this man of God, who I know has been good and whose word is faithful and true because I held the promise, lied to me. Lied to me. Because in verse 28, she tells him, did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, do not deceive me? That right there tells me she felt like he lied. Now we know he didn't. That's not what prophets do. They don't lie. They don't build our hopes up. They don't give us false hope. They give us what God says. They give us the word that he's spoken to them. And yet sometimes it doesn't seem like that word has come to pass. We've had to wait a long time sometimes for the promise to be fulfilled. At 16, I was given a promise that I'm walking in at 50. That's a long time to wait. David was given a promise as a child, but didn't get to walk in it until he was a grown man. We are given promises. God gives us promises in his word. Sometimes through the word of somebody else, he uses somebody else to give us a word, to give us a promise. And that promise doesn't always get fulfilled when we think it should. It doesn't happen in our time. It's not microwaved. Sometimes it's got to cook for a while. You know, to get a good sauce, sometimes you've got to let it sit on the stove, on the heat, for a good while. Sometimes God has to do that with us. He has to clean us up. He has to do things in us, get us to places where we understand that it ain't about me anymore. It's about him. Amen. It ain't about what I want. It's about him. Amen. It's not about how I'm going to look and how I'm going to talk and what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do. No, it's about him.
Amen.
It's about putting ourselves in submission to him. Being obedient to him in what he tells us to do. He tells us, don't go there anymore, and yet we continue to go. We've sinned.
Right.
We've sinned because he said, don't go, and I went anyway. He says, don't say that, and I said it anyway. We sinned. Those are sins. When he says, don't, and I do it anyway, I have willfully sinned. But when he says, don't, and I say, okay, Lord, I won't do that. I'm going to go back over here. I'm going to stand over here, and I'm going to do what you told me to do. And I'm going to speak the things that you tell me to speak, and I'm going to walk the way that you tell me to walk, and I'm going to talk the way that you tell me to talk. Then God can start moving because I'm being obedient. When I become obedient, he can do what he promised. He can do what he promised. We stop the promises sometimes because of our disobedience. When we walk in disobedience to the Lord, he can't bless that. Now listen, there's a lot of times he will still protect us because he knows, like, we're just fleshly. And me, ignorant sometimes, because I'm me. And he, look, he knows, he knew when he created me what he was getting. He ain't surprised. He knew that I was going to have a big mouth, a hot temper, and not know when to be quiet. He is not shocked by any of those things when it flares up. Because it does. Honestly, it does. But God is good, and he is faithful and just and true, and he loves me enough to tell me, girl, I said, sit down and be still.
Yeah.
He loves me that much that when I start walking in error and I'm getting off the path that leads to the promise, he'll yank me by the hair of my head. I used to pray it all the time, Lord, grab me by the hair, and I'm, you know, I'm 50 now. That's going to hurt. Could you just, you know, I listen.
I ain't got as much hair to grab anymore.
I listen. You don't have to yank my hair. But when I was younger, I would, Lord, you know, get my attention. But he have to do those things when we're walking where we're supposed to be.
Amen.
That still small voice, we can hear it when we stop being real loud. When it stops being about us and it starts being about him. When we're coming to him in sincerity, we're kneeling before him. Kneeling ain't always easy. Like, it hurts. The floor's hard. And sometimes he says, you gotta kneel. Okay, well, I'm gonna do it. Because that's the path to the promise. The path to the promise is hard and rocky. It's not easy. It's not smooth. He's not going to just walk up and hand it to you. We got to work for it sometimes.
You talk about a path to the promise. And that is good, because when you read this scripture right here, that goes along, because the Son is given. There's a celebration. It's all good. But years go by. He has to be out in the field, whether he's a toddler or a young boy. Years has went by. There is a path. There's a process. And then my head hurts. You know, I mean, honestly, to me, that says something sudden. Because when I hear that now, I don't know if this will happen to him. Maybe an aneurysm or type thing. But that, to me, anybody that's in the healthcare, that would be a sudden thing that would happen. So mom didn't see him getting sick day by day. She didn't sit by his bedside day, but there was a sudden attack by the enemy, and there it is. Now, what you've been doing on the path, the process, is going to determine how you react. You know what I mean? So what God exactly says a lot about her character and her integrity.
It really does, because she could have gotten upset. And she could have went out there to the daddy going, what did you do to my kid? He was fine when I let you take him this morning. What did you do? But she doesn't. She goes to him and says, I need. And he says, why? And she says, because I do. And he says, okay. She tells him all is well, and she goes about her way.
And you know about that, it doesn't say, in Scripture, it doesn't say that he even knew that the child had died. I don't think he did.
She didn't tell anybody.
Didn't say nothing to nobody.
She said nothing to nobody.
So that lends the credence to her faith, I think, because if I tell him,
it makes it real.
It makes it real. And also, he may then, being her husband who has authority over her, in that culture, says, we ain't going to do that. Mm-hmm. And it could forfeit the promise, like what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, she goes to him. She didn't have to. Like, listen, I wouldn't have went to John. But like, I'm going to find the man of God. Like, he'll figure it out when I don't come back.
Yeah.
That's not how this was. When she was going to make the room, she asked her husband. When she needed to go to the man of God, she asked her husband. He gives her permission every time. She went through the chain of command like she was supposed to. God honors those things when we go through that chain of command.
Amen.
We have to be submissive, and that's hard for controllers. I'm a controller. I try to fix as much as I can fix, make it line up the way that I want. So to be submissive is hard. God is teaching Lynn how to be submissive. It ain't pretty. But God is good. And he strengthens me when I need it. And he reminds me that I need to do this because this is what he said.
As you talked about, sometimes God tells you, don't go there. You go anyway. Don't say that. You say it anyway. In light of this whole chapter, really, talking about the Shunammite woman, she done it as Leanne read it. And then previously when we was talking about the widow with the oil, she done it. If you notice, there's a theme, and then eventually Elisha will do it when he shows up. They shut the door. What's that? Before they started with the oil in the vessel, they shut the door. Shunammite woman packs him up there, she shuts the door. Yeah, so really the theme of the chapter would be shutting the door, because it happens continuously. But to go along with what you're saying, if you're willing to shut the door on what God is telling you to shut the door on, what you're doing is you're opening a possibility for the promise to be fulfilled. If you think about it, because if you'll do what God tells you to do, now he'll move in the situation. They shut the door, the oil came. She packs him up, shuts the door. Elisha comes, shuts the door. So they're shutting the door on what reality or what others may say, the negative naysayers, so that God could then move. I like it.
And I know, like, some of us are sitting there wondering, what are they talking about? We're talking about our promises that God gives us and how we felt like it has died. Like we've held that promise in our hand. We've held it in our arms, bounced it on our knee. We've treated it like a prized possession, and yet it died. We didn't think God was going to fulfill that because it's been so long. Lord, I've done this. I've been faithful. I've walked where you've told me to walk. I've done the things that you've told me to do. And yet still, I don't have a baby. I don't have a husband. I don't have a wife. I don't have the job that I want. My life don't look the way that I thought it was going to look. God, why? But she goes to the man of God and she tells him, I told you, don't deceive me. Don't lie to me. You give me, I got the promise and I got to hold it. But now it's dead. I told you, don't deceive me. Don't lie to me. Don't hurt my feelings. Don't do that thing. But yet, what does he do? He sends Gehazi. Go lay my staff on the child's face. And she repeats Elisha's words back to him. Because he wasn't going to go. He sent his servant, and that was going to be enough. But mommy wasn't happy with that. And it says, And I like this because up to this point, she has always been the Shunammite woman. But in this verse, verse 30, it says, "Then the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.'" Very familiar words, because he spoke the same words to Elijah. Now, we don't know how long ago this separates, because I didn't dig all that out. But he just said those words to Elijah. "I'm not going to leave you." She tells him, "I'm not leaving you. You have to go. You are the one who said, 'I get this promise.' You have to be the one to go and fix it. Like, this is, I'm blaming you." And that's what we do sometimes. Sometimes we blame the man of God because it didn't look the way that we thought it was going to look. Well, he never told us how it was going to look. He just told us that it was going to come. And we have to be okay with that road looking a little different, because the man of God never said it was going to look like this. It was going to be this way. He just said it was going to come. And she's there and bitter distress. So I can imagine at this point, mommy's probably ugly crying at the feet of the prophet. Like, it ain't going to be pretty. Like, if she wore mascara all down her face. Ugly crying, because what? Her promise is laying dead in a room that she built for this man. She built it for him because he was a good man. I'm sure that she heard the word when he came and she listened. And there was something within her that said, "Let's do this for him. Let's give him a place that he can come in and he can rest. And he can spend time with the Lord to get the things that we need to hear." So he gets a room. And she doesn't ask him for anything. She wants nothing in return. But yet, he gives her the promise of a child. Of the thing that I'm sure that she has longed for years. That when she first got married, that it will happen soon. We've talked about it. We've planned for it. We've bought all the baby things. We've laughed with our friends about it. And then a few years and there's nothing. And a few years, there's still nothing. So we pack all the baby things away. We don't talk about it anymore. We don't laugh about it with our friends. We just stop. We stop dreaming. We stop hoping. We stop. Until the man of God shows up and gives us hope. And now we're older. And our promise is laying up in a room dead. And as a mommy, my heart breaks. Because I can't imagine the strength that it took to sit and hold him on her lap as he drew his last breath. I can't imagine the strength it took to pick him up and carry him up the stairs, knowing he's dead. She picks him up and she carries him up the steps one at a time. And I can imagine that each one is harder than the next. Till she gets to the top. And she opens the door and she lays him on his bed. But now she has to leave him. Because he's not going to come. It's not time. I have to go find him. So she's had to leave him. Knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's dead. So she goes and finds him. And she tells him, "I'm not leaving. You got to go with me, bub. Because, like, look, I'm drawing the line right here. We're doing this together. You give me the promise, you're going to go fix the promise."
Right.
And he goes. And he goes. And he goes in. Nobody gets to go in with him. Just him and the boy. and he shuts the door. And it's so relevant that he shut the door, because not everybody has to be a part of the reviving of the promise. Sometimes God has to do those things in secret, because not everybody needs to see the things that he cleans out of you. Not everybody needs to see the things that he has to cut off of you. Not everybody needs to be witness to him refining you.
Amen.
He shuts the door and he goes over and he lays on the child. And this makes us uncomfortable. Yes, I don't know about y'all, but it made me uncomfortable. Glad I'm not alone. And he goes and he puts his eyes to the boy's eyes, and his nose to the boy's nose, his mouth to the boy's mouth, and his hands to the boy's hands, and he lays stretched out on this child. Why? I don't know. God knows. And someday maybe we'll get to ask him. And then he gets up and he walks around. And I'm sure as he's walking, he's praying, Lord, now look, we give this woman this promise, and he ain't doing anything, and he's laying there dead, and I don't know how to fix this, and what are you going to do? Because look, I'm the man of God. You speak to me. I got a double portion of what you give Elijah. What's going to happen now? And then he goes back, and he shuts the door, and he does it again. And the child gets warm. Goes away, and he walks around some more, and then he comes back and does it again. And this time he sneezes 7 times. And he tells Gehazi, go call the woman to come and get her son. And she comes in and she picks up the promise and she kneels at the feet of the prophet, giving glory to God. Because only God could restore what death had taken.
Amen.
Only God can restore what the enemy has taken. He takes our joy. He takes our peace. He takes our happiness. God can restore your joy, your peace, your happiness.
Amen.
He can restore all the things that the enemy keeps taking. When we come into this place that, you know what, God, you're enough. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need that. I need you. I need you to move in this situation right here. I'm stuck. This is part of my promise, and it doesn't look like I thought it was going to look. Like, you give me a glimpse, this don't look nothing like that. Like, I need you to fix this. And he does, but he doesn't always fix it the way that we want it fixed. It's his way.
You know, there's sometimes situations that arise, and I say this, I'm not trying to put anybody down in your life, per se, because I don't think they were trying to do anything negative to the Shunammite woman, is what I'm trying to say. But there are sometimes people around you are not going to see what you see spiritually. They're just not going to see it, okay? That don't mean you abandon the promise. You know, the woman, her seed was dead. Okay, but it really was just lying dormant until the word came. The word came, and when it mixed with faith, and guess what? What was dormant come alive again. She had the child. You know what I mean? But then when the child dies, the only time, as you read, that she showed any distress at all is when she finally, Teresa, made it to the prophet's feet. At no point in time does she break down. She have doubt. Matter of fact, she shows the opposite of doubt when she says to the servant who's taking her there, don't slow down unless I tell you. So in other words, she's in the buggy, in the chariot, in whatever it is, and you don't slow down, Joe, unless I tell you to slow down. So what she's saying is, I need to get you to the level I'm at. You're not going to slow down unless I'm the one that says slow down. So you go all out because I'm going all out. She was bringing those around her up to where she was what she was doing. And at no time does she show any distress whatsoever until Terry says, I'm like Leanne. I feel for the woman once she made it to Elisha. Because at that point, I believe is when, Tammy, that mother's love come out. She got vulnerable. Did I not tell you, don't do this? Don't take this promise. Don't toy with me. And I think at that point she breaks down, begging God to move. But up until then, everybody that was around her, Joe, she had to bring their faith up to where hers was. So in all of our lives, there's going to be times that God may give you a word. Everybody around you saying, you better hold on to that word. Because even though they didn't have no bad intentions, they would have affected it. She didn't tell the husband. She tells the servant, you don't slow down unless I tell you to slow down. Okay? Nobody knows what she's going through, but her faith is leading her to the problem. You understand what I'm saying? So to me, there's going to also be situations and times that everybody around you, even though they can be good people, can with words speak against that promise that God's given you. You got to hold on to it.
You do. Not everybody needs to know everything. God gave you the promise.
Right.
He didn't give your neighbor your promise. He gave it to you.
Right.
When we share, when we overshare, that opens the door for the enemy to come in and start causing doubt and confusion and fear. Where God said there's supposed to be joy, hope, peace, love. So when we overshare our promises,
amen, that's good.
Even well-intentioned, like I can go tell my mom, and like she ain't gonna tell nobody else.
Yeah.
Like if I say like between us, my mom's not gonna tell nobody. She's not even gonna tell my daddy. Yeah, we know this is what's gonna happen, right? If I go to Lisa, Pearl, Jonathan, it doesn't matter. I know they're gonna hold that confidence. God may give it to me one way, and the enemy, as I'm speaking it, it comes in to them differently. He's give it to me. It's mine. I'm supposed to nurture it, pray over it, seek Him, His guidance, His wisdom. And when I speak it to somebody else, they may interpret it differently. And so then their words spoken back can change it. And I'm holding it now differently than what I was when God gave it to me. She didn't speak of the child's death, because to have spoken of it would have made it real. Not that it wasn't any less real, because we know, like, you can't get no deader than the dead.
That's
it.
Her faith was battling reality. Really was what it was. I mean, because he was dead. But she was refusing to give up on the promise. So her faith was really going head to head with what her eyes saw as reality.
Right.
But she refused to believe what her eyes saw over the word that was given to her. That's pretty big. And that's not always easy. You can say it. But when you're the one who gets the news and it's happening to you, that's a total different thing.
That's exactly right. Which is why the obedience and submission to God is key. Now look, He didn't come in and dwell in them like He does with us. We're special. They longed for this day. Longed to have Him come and be with them all the time. So she's walking on true faith. Not the kind that we get that's supported by the Holy Spirit. Props us up when it gets hard. She's walking on true faith. If I can get to the man of God, if I can get to him and tell him what's happened, then he can go fix it. She was submissive to her husband, and she was obedient. Are we submissive to God, and are we obedient? That's what he asks of us. So when your promise is laying dead, it looks like there's no hope. There's no way that this is going to ever work out. None. Have you tried being submissive to God and being obedient to what He's told you to do? Have you gotten down on your knees and cried out to Him, Lord, I was wrong. I walked over here when you told me to stay put. I need you to forgive me. Help me. Clean me up from this mess and help me. And here's the thing. When we get serious with God and we lay it all out there, and you're at this point and you're like, okay, Lord, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done playing church. I'm done having a mild relationship.
Come on.
I'm done pretending. I'm done putting on my church face and smiling and saying, God is good all the time when my world is falling apart behind me. When my world has crumbled and I don't know what the next things look like, because this is chaos and confusion and hurt and doubt. And I don't know how to get over this. I don't know how I'm going to fix it. I don't know how I'm going to get around it. I don't know how. I don't know how. But God, I'm done. I have come to the end of myself. Because I have tried to fix it. I tried to prop it up. That didn't work. I tried to slap some makeup on it. Yeah, that didn't work either. I've tried. I've tried to fix it. But I can't fix this.
Yes,
I can't control anything that leads up to it or away from it or beside it or around it. And I'm a fixer.
Yes,
I'm a fixer. I'm a control freak. I'm all the things that we're not supposed to be. God, this thing right here, this thing has ripped my heart out, threw it on the ground and danced all over it. And I'm done. I'm done with the fake. I'm done, God. I'm done. I can't get up one more morning and go down there and see it and act like everything's all right. I can't go down there, God. I can't go down there, Lord, to prayer meeting and act like I don't have my world falling apart. I can't walk in there and act like I got it all together because I don't have it all together. Today, my world has crumbled and I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what fixing it looks like. So what do? You make you an altar. You're not at church and can't come to one of these. You make you an altar. And it don't have to be this pretty thing. It can be anything. Mine was a couch in my living room.
Yeah.
While John was on the other end of the house in the bed asleep.
Bless the Lord.
The corner of the couch. I hit my knees. Because my world was falling apart. Chaos was reigning in our home. In the family. Things were happening. And I'm like, Lord, I just can't. I can't do it. That's not what this is supposed to look like. We have come so far. You have walked with us in so many places.
Yeah.
And yet, the devil has come in and he has created havoc. And he has broken hearts and relationships and homes.
Yeah,
and God, that's not what this is supposed to look like because we're serving you.
Amen.
But God said, Lynn, that's not how this works. This works when you're obedient to me. Because when you're obedient to me, I can do what I am allowed to do. But when you put chains on me and you bind me and you make me sit in this box and I can only come out and do this much, guess what? That's all you get.
Yeah,
and the chaos reigns.
Bless
and the relationships are broken and it's damaged and it's beyond repair.
Yes,
but when you kneel at my feet and you give me everything of you and you don't hold anything back, you give me all of it. You give me every fear, every tear, every care, every burden. You give it all to me and watch what I do. So we kneel in the floor and we cry. Ugly cry. Thank God I didn't have mascara on because I'd have got it all over the couch. It would have been bad. Then I'd have had to clean it. But we cry and we beg him. Lord, I am done. I'm done living half-hearted. I'm done walking halfway. I'm done. I need you, and I need all of you. I don't want just half of you on Sunday morning. I don't want a piece of you on Sunday night. I don't want to walk in on Friday and act like everything's good when we're making prayer Bibles, because I want to walk in and know that everything is good. Yeah. That my world can be falling apart. But yeah. Lord, you are walking before me, and you are creating the way, and you are making things straight. And although he comes in and he attacks and he tries to knock my props out from under me, you are the one that sustains me. You are the one that holds me. You are the one that picks me back up. You are the one that moves in the situation because I can't.
Yeah.
You are the one that touches, God. You are the one that brings healing. Because this morning, Lynn don't have hearing aids in, and she can hear just fine because God is that good. There are days I can't hear you sitting beside of me. But God.
Hallelujah.
When we give everything to him and we stop trying to fix it ourselves, he comes in and he moves. Now, it may not look the way that we want it to look, but it's going to be perfectly how he wants it to be.
Amen.
It's going to move, and it's going to act, and it's going to talk, and it's going to walk, and it's going to be just the thing that he wants it to be when we are obedient and submissive to him.
Amen. You know, as she's sharing, who's enjoying this? I know I am. But as she's saying that, what went through my mind immediately, when you go into your prayer closet, when you took all you could take, and you're at that moment, what you, in essence, done is you shut the door behind you. Just what the woman with the widow's oil, just like the Shunammite woman, just like Elisha, you have to get along with the Lord. Just you and him. And I'm reminded of a New Testament, the book of Mark, chapter 5, I believe it is when Jesus is doing his thing, thank you, and Jesus is doing his thing, and the woman with the issue of blood, but then word comes that Jairus' daughter has died, and he don't take a bunch of people with him, he takes Peter, James, and John, and he gets there, and all the mourners are there, which means they were paid mourners, by the way, the Pharisees and leaders sent them there as a show, and Jesus put them all out, said she's not dead, she's sleeping. And they laughed at him. You know what I'm saying? They laughed at him. So I didn't believe the word he said. But then the Bible says he put them all out. He put them all out. And all that was in there was Peter, James, and John, the parents. And Jesus takes her by the hand, speaks to her, and she raises up. Now, Jesus don't have to shut the door. And I think there's something to that, Terry, because he is the door. You don't have to shut the door. He is the door. And he didn't have to lay across him like Elijah did. He spoke, and she got up. There's a difference there. But I truly believe there comes a point in time when we've got to shut the door, or we've got to put the naysayers out. Because we need to get along with Jesus. And I'm thankful that he understands our tears. That Jesus understands our tears, because there's time.
God is good. And if you are in a place right now, today, that you feel like the promises that he has given you are dead, are drying up, are dying, there's no life left in them. He said, all you have to do is come. Come, and I will give you rest. Come, and I'm going to make things right. I can't fix this. You can't fix it, but God can fix it. And it may not look, and it may not sound like the way that you want it to look and you want it to sound, but it'll be just the way he wants it to be. The joy and the peace will come in the midst of all the heartache and all the doubt and the confusion. He can raise you up and give you the joy and the peace that goes beyond our understanding.